Men, welcome to the Pursuit of Manliness show. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the Pursuit of Manliness. Men, as always, I want to thank you for stopping by tonight, checking out this show, checking out our conversation. If you would, make sure that you click subscribe, click the bell. That way you never miss any of the Pursuit of Manliness video or audio content. Currently, right now, we have two shows going on the Pursuit of Manliness. One is on Sunday nights, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It's called Unpacking Biblical Manliness, and we're walking through the book of Joshua. And we're looking at the scriptures. We're asking ourselves, what can we learn from that about being a man of God based on what the Word of God is telling us? And then we have the Pursuit of Manliness show on Wednesday nights. This is where, you know, I've asked you, hey, is there anything you want to see us talk about? Any questions you have? Maybe it's something we're working through as a resource, a skill. We take a look at men in the Bible. There's a plethora of things that we do with the Pursuit of Manliness show. So there isn't only one way format for it to happen. But again, as always, I want to thank you for checking it out. Tonight, we are talking about what is the root of our sin. In our closed Facebook group last night, I asked the question, what do you do if you continually find yourself repenting of the same sin? And the guys in there had some incredible feedback and great perspectives. Showed up, okay, as far as insights and ideas. And, you know, this guy posted this and this guy followed up with this. And man, I want to encourage you, that's a great first step to get into that closed Facebook group. Just facebook.com/groups/ Pursuit of Manliness. We have men literally all over the world. No matter where you're living, there's probably somebody connected to the Pursuit of Manliness in that region. God has just really, really blessed us in that way. It's amazing what He's doing in that. And oftentimes, I have no idea where these guys are coming from, but God does, and He's built a really good community of men who really do rally around each other. To take it a step further, if you want to look for a community of men all moving the same direction, growing spiritually and relationally, sign up for Tribe. The deadline for Tribe is November 23rd. We have a lot of great men in there. But the reason why I say those two things is because one of the best ways to overcome the defeat of sin and feeling just very lonely with it is to surround yourself with other brothers in Christ who are going to say, hey, I'm on this journey with you. I'm not going to coddle you through your sin. I'm not going to say, you know, we all sin, no big deals. We're going to say, you know what, let's keep pursuing victory. Let's keep making sure we're moving the right direction. Let's make sure that we're joining God in this battle. God never called anyone to just sit over there, I'll take care of this, I'll be right back, you just have a sweet tea and I'll come back. He engages us in the battle, forgive me, engages us in the battle, has us in the battle, has us, you know, doing our part, because we realize pretty quickly how insufficient our resources are, how insufficient our power and knowledge is, and so we need Him. And recently, I found myself in a situation. I was in our worship center at our church. I'm a pastor of a church. I go in there sometimes during the week. It's quiet, it's dark, and it's a great place for me to get out of my office where I have everything I need right there to write a sermon, you know, email people, whatever it is. I need to get away from that. So I get away from that and I go and I just sit for just a little bit quietly. It's a good place to quiet your soul. And I'm having a time of adoration to God. God, thank you, you know, for this place. Thank you for my family. Thank you for, you know, the people who are here, you know, et cetera. And then I go into where I begin to repent of sin, you know, and I'm confessing sin before God. And I got to one in particular sin, and I said, you know, I thought to myself, I'm just so sick and tired of confessing this sin. I'm so tired of repenting of this. It feels so juvenile that I am still dealing with this same sin. Shouldn't I be better than this at this point? Now, who could I tell this sin to that might give me a victory? You know, who could your pastor tell a sin to that may give him a victory in your church? Well, you'd like to say, well, me, I would be that guy. But the truth is, we all, you know, have diarrhea of the mouth and things, you know, are shared. And this is not a life-changing sin. It's just one that I'm sick and tired of confessing. But even saying that idea that it's not life-changing is very delusional on my part, because they all are life-changing when they go, when they're not being addressed, and when they go, when they're not repented of. And once we confess them, and once we share them, or once we communicate our strongholds in our life and say, I want the victory in this, and I'm going to do what it takes to see that victory, then light begins to show up. And so as I'm sitting there and I'm praying, and I thought to myself, I don't know who I would share this sin with. I don't know who I could tell this particular thing to. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, what is the root of this sin? And if I'm really honest with you, I did not have an answer in that moment. I mean, it's almost like I could see the words above my head. What is the root of this sin? And I thought, I have no idea. Now, guys, I want to say the Holy Spirit does not speak to me like that on a regular basis. But in that moment, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that's exactly what was going on. And so I got up, I walked out, and I started to do some research. I started to Google. I started to look up. Forgive me. I started to find an answer. And I think God does that to us at times, not giving us the answer, you know, just really simply put, because he wants us to do the work, get into his word, ask ourselves, what does the Bible say about this? For me in particular, the sin was rooted in coveting. That's one of the Ten Commandments. I should have that one down, right? Thou shalt not covet. Now, we think of coveting, we think of, you know, adultery, or we think of coveting your neighbor's truck. This is not what I was going through. This is not, it was not that, but that's what we think. And that's why I assumed immediately, it can't be coveting. That sounds too dark and dirty, right? That seems too tainted. That seems evil. That's exactly what sin is. And in that moment, my heart and my intentions were revealed right there, like they were laid out on a table. I thought, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I need to start putting this back together. I'm not living like that. I work too hard. I try too much. I'm too intentional to that. Pride began to show up. I have to ask myself, where is my sin rooted? Where's the root of this? Because if I'm just pulling it out, you know, or trimming it back, or trying to put something over it to cover it up, it's going to keep growing, and it's going to keep getting deeper and deeper roots. And man, when the roots get hold of something, it becomes a part of something. When sin is rooted in your heart, when there's a sin that you find yourself continually repenting of, and as much as these guys gave unbelievable feedback in that group, unbelievable. There was very few that would admit, because I didn't ask that in particular, but there was very few that did admit, hey, I'm worked through the same thing. And I believe this. I believe we are all repenting of similar sins, similar in nature. I don't think your sin of the day was punch somebody in the nose, and the next day was steal a candy bar, and the next day was look lustfully at someone, and the next day was, you know, want to murder. I don't think you have individual sin. I think that happens. I think there's days where different sins will show up. But what I think is there's a consistent theme probably in your life, and you have to ask yourself, what do I keep resurrecting that Christ has put to death? What do I keep bringing out or allowing to be brought out, or actually even liking it a little bit? Because we kind of say, well, it's just who I am. It's just my thorn in the flesh. It's just, you know, Paul had one, I have one, right? It's just what we do. And I think that is really shortchanging the power of God in your life. And so when it comes to sin, sin is a curse. It's destructive. It chokes us out from being effective. It chokes us out from being a husband and father. It chokes us out from being a grandfather. It chokes us out from ministry. It will choke us out from even desiring to walk with God. How often have you found yourself in a situation, or how many times do you find yourself in a situation where you just don't desire to be in the Word of God? You just don't desire to pray. That if one more person asks you, would you pray about something, you're gonna lose it, right? Like, I know I should pray, but man, I get another prayer request. It happened to me even last night. There's tension. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to do this. I know I should be doing this, but I really want to do this. And bam, there was an email with a prayer request. And I'm like, I don't want to do this right now. Can I get to it later? That's a sign that my priorities are off. And that's what sin does. It grabs root of your heart and it begins to destroy you slowly. And we don't even realize it. Sometimes we stop sinning, particular sins, because we're too old to do them anymore. Because we don't have the resources. Because you know the relational equity it would cost you, but in your heart, you would still do it. Guys, that's another sign of sin rooted in your heart. So let's walk through some verses here, because ultimately we want to be more like Christ, or at least we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be desiring to be more like Christ. This is what God is trying to make us into. And yet we somehow keep fighting Him against that. We'll go back to Deuteronomy chapter 29, 18. It says, "Beware, lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away from the Lord our God." So don't judge me. No, judge you. Judge you because why? "And to go and serve gods of those nations. Beware, lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit." What would a root that was poisonous or bitter fruit do to the rest of the fruit? It would be gone. A lot of times we think of fruitfulness in our life, we think of being fruitful in production. That I can see fruit in my life. I've made disciples, I'm evangelizing the lost, I'm tithing to my church, I'm praying with my wife and kids. And while those are fruit in our life, fruit, real fruit, would be character being developed in us, because that makes us authentic, that makes us genuine. You see, anybody can read the Bible to your wife and children. I mean, really, they could. But God's placed you there for a reason. Anyone can tithe to your church. They don't, but anyone can tie it to your church, right? Anyone can write a check. Anyone can sit down and meet with someone once a month and talk about Jesus. Anyone could anyone could. Even people who don't believe in that could do that. So the fruit we're talking about here that is poisonous, that is bitter, that will destroy you is your character. That you say, not do I do it because I have to, I do it because I want to. And I do it because I see a much bigger picture here. It's not just about the moment. I'm keeping one eye. My focus will always be one eye at least on eternity. There's an eternal focus. So I'm meeting with this individual. I'm giving up something. I'm doing something right now because I want him to be a better husband and father. His kids or grandkids may never even know my name. It doesn't matter. But the eternal picture there is the investment is being made. You probably won't get credit for it. And that's going to be okay. Actually, that's going to be great. Because when we start getting credit for these things, that is another root that begins to take hold of our heart. We think of sin. We think of the root of sin. We think of what verse of the root of sin? Money, right? Money is evil, right? The Bible says money is the root of all evil. It doesn't. It doesn't say that. Please stop saying that. That's not what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. "For the love of money is a root." So not the root. It is a root of all kinds of evils. Lots of evils. Money makes people do really evil things, and they can justify it, and they can hide it somewhere in their brain that it's okay. It says, "It is through this craving for money, the love of it, that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." They have caused themselves a lot of heartache and destruction. Why? The love of money. It's not money itself. Money is amoral. It's not good or bad. Money can be used to give to a missionary, or it can be used to gamble on a game. Money can be used to further the kingdom, or it can be used at a strip club. Money can be used to feed the homeless, or it can be used to purchase more alcohol when you know that you're an alcoholic. It can be used to buy your kids Christmas gifts, or it can be used to be squandered away on drugs or anything else that you desire to try to numb who you really are in your life. And then when you get to that Christmas time or Thanksgiving time and you realize that you don't have the money because you flushed it away, then you can justify whatever means to actually go get other money. It happens all the time. Money is amoral, but you see what happens when it takes a root in our heart and it grabs hold of that. We make ourselves vulnerable to all kinds of evils. We can justify stealing. How many addicts steal from people because they justify that it's just one more time, or it's not a big deal, or somehow that this person owes it to them? How many people enable addicts? Because they're like, well, if I don't give it to them, at least I know where they're at. At least I know, you know, like I love them. This is a way I can show that I love them. That is destructive. And you see what happens there. A root has grabbed hold of your heart, and it slowly attaches to your brain. And then all your actions are justified because of that. Men, what I'm trying to say here is, what is the root that is attempting to destroy your heart? And many times it's not what is the root, what are the roots? Many roots. We're vulnerable to lots of things. Have you ever found yourself walking with Christ? Everything is good, everything is good, everything is good, everything is good. Bam, temptation out of nowhere, and you fell for it. It's happened to me. What happened? Our defenses were down. Our defense is that we are mindful that temptation is everywhere. Sin is everywhere. Now, your sin will look different than my sin, but they're just as destructive. Some immediate, some over time, but they still will all destroy you. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your knees. Get up. Get up. What are you doing? Get up. What? Give praise to God. Give glory to God. Give adoration to God. And make straight paths for your feet. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, and He will direct your path straight. The Bible talks over and over and over about straightness. Move forward, forward. What happens when we wander? Bad things happen. Often, God would tell the nation of Israel, do not look to your left, do not look to your right. Why? Because when you do that, you'll begin to covet, desire, take your eyes off of moving forward. Straight paths for your feet, so that which is lame may be put out of joint, rather, would not be put out of joint, rather be healed. Do you want to get to the end of your life? I know I don't. I'll start with this. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say that sin won. It took 45 years of my life. It took 32 years of my, it took my marriage. That sin took my marriage because I wasn't, I wasn't humble enough to admit it. I wasn't intentional enough to bring it into light. And I just thought it was no big deal. At the end of your life, I've seen this happen. At the end of your life, people are going to go through your stuff. I don't just mean the cookies on your computer. I mean, they're going to go through your life will be revealed. Now, you'll be gone, but that will be part of your legacy. Like, I don't want to try to hide the junk drawer and end up losing the entire house. It goes on to say, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness for which no one will see the Lord. When your relationships are out of joint, when they're off center, when they're not Christ honoring, you are prone to sin. You are prone to justifying your sin. You're prone to giving your sin a hall pass, permission to just, you know, it's no big deal. It's fine. It's okay if I do this. I don't feel good about myself right now. I had a bad day. They're mean. I'm good. It's out of whack. When I talk to people about this, I say, I don't know what will come of your relationship, but make sure you do the right thing. And that's not easy. Because the other party has to at least meet you somewhere with that. But you want to say, listen, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to at least at the minimum pray for them. Just praying for someone who you know is, I don't know, enemy is the right word, but that you have tension with. That can be difficult. But some of you probably see them as enemies, that you pray for them. Verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 12 will continue on. It says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. If there is a root that I believe is passed down like a family recipe, I believe it is the root of bitterness. You are cynical. You are skeptical. You become a contrarian. You are passive aggressive. You question everyone's motives. This root of bitterness is handed down like a family recipe. It is so contagious to be bitter. Why is that? Because I believe bitterness elevates you and pushes other people down, and it will allow you to justify all your behaviors. There's just something about bitterness, and I will admit, I haven't done enough study on the bitterness in Scripture and why that's so bad, and why. But there's something about bitterness, bitter people, that have this pig pen aura about them that everybody gets a whiff of their bitterness. And somehow in their mind, they're okay with that. And I believe it's rooted somewhere else in insecurity. Bitter people are insecure people. Someone has let them down. Relationships have been broken. They haven't done the work to mend the relationships. They don't like the path of their life. Very rarely have I ever seen anyone who's successful, anyone who is hardworking, who is also bitter. Because they know what goes into it. Rarely have I seen people surrounded by family and friends who are bitter. Bitterness is one of the most off-putting traits of another human being that there is. And yet, I feel like in many ways, we're just surrounded by it. It's everywhere. It's definitely online. I think Twitter's the worst. Twitter is the most bitter environment that I'm aware of. Just, you can't post, I had licorice for today for a snack. Why didn't you have a chocolate candy bar? Why didn't you have, what you always think, you know, you think it doesn't matter what you do. Somebody's got a thing to throw back at you. It's exhausting. I don't need any part of it. But if that's an environment that's causing me bitterness, what should I do? Maybe I need to leave. Maybe I need to shine a brighter light. I don't know. But I definitely need to repent of the bitterness, because when it takes root, it says there, many become defiled. Your bitterness destroys many people. It goes on to say in verse 16 that no one is sexually immoral. Wait, bitterness, sexually immoral? Yeah. You become discontent with your life, with your marriage, whatever. Oh, unholy like Esau. What did Esau do? Why is Esau getting brought into this, who sold his birthright for a single meal? The blessing of God was not enough. He wanted that bowl of stew right now. Right now, that he gave something that was given to him by God. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was what? Rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. There will come a time in all of our lives, men, when God will say, that's it, no more. That's it. Time is up. And so ask yourself right now, what is the root of the sin or sins in my life that I continually repent of, that I am continually fighting against? Certainly, root can be a good thing, and you understand that. There's a couple places. I want to end with this as we start to wrap up. Revelation 5:5, and one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Well, why is that important? Because God had told David that he would establish his kingdom and it would never end. Jesus is connected to the lineage of David. So a root being held fast to something that is good, something that is eternal, is incredibly important. Revelation 22:16, Jesus said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Again, there's a good place for a root. A root can be good. But man, in our context tonight, you know it's not. If you've ever had to pull a bush or a shrub or anything out of your yard, you know, hands down, the most difficult part is the roots. And the work, it takes hours and hours and hours, depending on how long that shrub or bush or whatever you're trying to get up has been there. And the longer it's been there, the bigger it is and the stronger those roots are. I mean, for crying out loud, a tree, you can see the roots come out of the ground. However long your sin has been there, that's how strong those roots are. And it's going to take some excavation. God, I need you to do some real work on my heart. I'm going to have to be really intentional about getting myself around men of God that I can confess this to, that I can get this out in the open, because this will destroy me. And I just think that that's so important. So let's get these three things. What can we do? One, we need to understand when it comes to sin, if we do not ask God to reveal the root of sin, we're attempting to address a pothole problem with a Band-Aid solution. Man, we're fooling ourselves and we think we just repent, 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 repent. We're going to be good. Eventually, one day, I'm going to get over this. Repent, repent, repent. It's not that. That's delusional and Satan is winning. As long as he has you one-on-one, he's winning. We need to stop asking God for to do something magical and we're willing to do nothing minimal. God, bless me. Go before me, show me favor. I'm going to provide no effort in this, but you bless me, show me favor, go before me. I'm just going to keep doing this, but God bless me, show me favor. God, guys, that's not how that works. We need to ask God, reveal the root of sin, and then I need to do something. I need to do some excavating in my heart. If we don't, it renders us frustrated, prone to more sin, and eventually we're just flat out ineffective. This is how people walk away from the faith. This is how people give up on marriages and parenting and jobs. They're just defeated. Number two, understanding the seasons and seconds that cause these roots to begin to take root is an important step. Seasons, these could be days, months, weeks, whatever. I got a good friend who's traveling right now for work, and he's in a situation where he's away from his wife, kids, whatever. And I sent him hey, I'm praying for you, man. I'm praying for him this morning. I'm praying for you. Why? Because we're vulnerable in those seasons, in those times where we are away from our anchors that keep us grounded. And Satan will use whatever he can to destroy us. So I'm praying for these guys. I'm praying for, you know, different people. Ask them to do the same for me. Seasons and then seconds. Like I said, you're walking through the day. Bam, you get hit with something. You're like, I wasn't even thinking about that. And all of a sudden, there's that sin or there's that memory from years ago. Why am I remembering that? I don't know. Confess it. Just confess it and repent of it. And then move on. I'm not going to live in that no more. I'm not doing that. And number three, confess the sins. Confess the strongholds in your life. I said to my elders the other night, apparently coveting is a sin in my life that I need to address. And I'm telling you guys this because I want to get it out there and I want you to pray for me. And if you have sin in your life, I would do the same for you. I didn't have to get into all the nitty-gritty details of sin. I just said coveting. And I am finding more and more places in my life where I have been coveting things or moments or whatever. And I need to repent of that. God is doing a work in my heart. I need to do something about that. We need to let other people hear that so they can pray for you. Men, I want to encourage you with this too. You can't always be the guy asking for a prayer request. I don't want to make you paranoid about prayer requests, but some guys are always asking for the prayer request and never offering to be the prayer guys. Please let it go both ways. It's very cyclical. How can I pray for you? I'm praying for you. Maybe that's a great way to start. I've had people do that. They'll text me, hey, I'm praying for you. I'll text them back. How can I pray for you? Maybe there was something on their heart and they needed someone to pray for them or vice versa. Great. Let's have the victory together. Okay, but confessing those sins, confessing those strongholds, confessing those seasons where we know that we're struggling, and then through that prayer, there'll be understanding. Or maybe they'll say, hey, I felt like God's telling me to tell you this. Guys, I had a friend do that last night. Totally out of the blue. He said, I felt like God wants me to tell you this. And I said, okay. Man, I need to take hold of it. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with me. So listen, all in all, this is not permission to keep sinning. This is bringing darkness to light, okay? And bringing confusion towards clarity, death to light, light overcoming the darkness. Amen. That is the quickest way of leaving this life of despair. There's too many men who are just living in their sins. And if you're going to find an accountability partner, which I'm a big fan of, don't find an accountability partner who sins the same way you do. Find an accountability partner who will hold you accountable, who will ask you uncomfortable questions, who will ask, okay, what are you going to do about this? Besides saying, I'll pray for you, someone needs to call you on the carpet and say, what are you going to do about this? What am I doing about the coveting? I'm telling people. I'm addressing that. I'm asking God, where am I coveting? Search my heart. I can't live like this, okay? I need to bring it to light. And man, this is why we're having this conversation tonight. Because this is something I feel like that I need to get out, but also something I feel like somebody or many somebodies needs to hear. And maybe that's you, or maybe that's a friend of yours, man. If you know that they're wandering through this, man, send them this link. You don't have to tag them. You don't have to say, hey, you sin. Now send them the link. Say, hey, I want you to listen to this. Maybe there's some things from this that you can grab. Send them the podcast when it is posted. Maybe send them that audio link. I don't know. But we don't want to be men who secretly hide our sin in fear that we're the only ones sinning that way and then get to the end of our life and realize that we allowed sin to ruin us and destroy us because we were too afraid or too insecure or too rooted in this sin. Amen? So men, as always, appreciate you listening. Thanks for checking us out. Man, if you would, share the show. Let someone else know that you found value in it, that you think they too would find value in it as well. And so men, I appreciate you, men, and let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.